Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, located here in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. We always like to remind you, especially if you're new to this this channel, that you can actually join us on Sunday morning for a Zoom fellowship where you can listen to this message, meditation, music, have discussion about the lesson if you have questions or want to make any remarks about it, and you get to do that in discussion with other Unity folks. But it's a time for fellowship. So please check your e-newsletter or weekly update for the Zoom link for the Sunday morning 10:30 service. And if you're not receiving either the e-newsletter or the weekly update, you can go to unitycenteroflight.org, and there you can sign up for you know, to be part of the mailings that go out. And also, we're very thankful for all the donations that the folks here on YouTube have been sending in to support Unity Center of Light. So if you're inspired by this message and you're this first time being here and you'd like to donate, you can click on the Show More button just below this screen. And, you know, it'll show you all the ways you can support Unity Center of Light. And we're very thankful for all your donations. And if you like this lesson today, please give it a like, a thumbs up, and click on the
subscribe
button so that you can keep up with all the things we're doing. Right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for Sunday, October the 1st. The key word is prosperity, and the affirmation is practicing gratitude deepens my experience of prosperity. My life may be full of blessings. My family and friends, my home, my memories and experiences, but it can be easy to take it for granted if I focus more on what I'm missing rather than what I have. Being thankful, expressing my gratitude for my good, opens my heart, but it also opens my eyes to the many ways I am prosperous. I count my blessings, pausing to give thanks for each one. The more often I do this, the more feelings of gratitude will fill my heart, crowding out constricting feelings of scarcity, fear, or envy. From the serenity I feel in my heart to the peace that calms my mind, I am prosperous. As I greet each day with a prayer of thanks, my blessings abound. And the scripture reading is taken from Psalm 36:8, and it reads, "They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So you probably saw the title for this lesson, which is let's start from the beginning. All right. Sometimes when you're moving along and whatever it is you're trying to, you know, to learn, it's just time to go, you know, back from the, to revisit the basics. Okay. The foundation upon which we are building a new reality, whatever that reality might be. Now, in our case, so as truth seekers, we're seeking or striving to uncover the reality that is the truth of who we really are, which are spiritual beings fully engaged in the human experience, okay? So this is the inspiration behind our dedication to gaining spiritual knowledge about ourselves and experimenting with that knowledge by implementing it in our lives. That's the important part. It's not just about learning, an intellectual process, but as we learn, we want to, you know, implement these principles we're learning and see how they work in our lives. Now, there is a degree of bravery in being a true seeker, because we're willing to seek new knowledge, even if it conflicts with the current truth that has been driving our way of thinking and being in the world. And this can be an arduous task because it requires a sincere willingness to be changed down to the core of our being, all right? So again, from time to time, it's a good idea to revisit the basics. Now, this next point is not always emphasized in the New Thought movement, but the basics for us as truth seekers are found in the Bible, okay? And the basic starting point in the Bible is the book of Genesis. So the book of Genesis is considered by Bible scholars as being the book of beginnings. It's the beginning of the understanding that we already have within us, the awareness that will guide us through every challenge in our lives, okay? And how do we know that this is true? Because every one of us has experienced at one time or another the bursting forth of light or understanding in the midst of a life-changing challenge. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, you're going through something, you don't know how to get through it, and all of a sudden, this light or this understanding comes into your mind that helps you to move through whatever that challenge is. And we have experienced our own growth as we've used truth principles to work our way through many of the difficult situations that have occurred in our lives. And realistically, the purpose of the challenges in our lives is to drive us onward towards using what we have learned about the activity of God in our lives, thus giving us greater understanding, and this is an ongoing process. Okay? I often say to Pamela, it seems that there is never a time that I do not have a major project I have to work on. Well, life is the same way. There is never a time when there isn't a major spiritually awakening project we need to work on, which means that under normal circumstances, you look at it as just a life challenge. But we're not understanding that that life challenge is a spiritually awakening project that we need to work on. So the challenges in our lives cause us to work harder to get to where we want to be. And where we want to be, again, from the perspective of this lesson, is being more aware of the activity of God in our lives. Okay? And at no point, you know, are we claiming that it is easy. Because in so many times in our lives, easy does not fit the circumstances that we are facing. Okay? And so, we want to acknowledge that it's just not an easy process. And the book of Genesis is our introduction to discovering the secrets that already exists within us that lead to living a more fulfilling life, okay? So let's begin this journey through Genesis with an introduction from the Explorer's Study Bible. And it says, Genesis could be considered the seed plot of the Bible. In it, in germ form, we have all of the great doctrines which are fully developed in the books of Scripture which follow Genesis, okay? So God is revealed as the Creator God, the Covenant God, the Almighty God, the Most High, and possessor of heaven and earth. We have the first teachings in Genesis about the Trinity, okay? The truth of salvation, of justification by faith, and the value of prayer are also taught in this book, as well as many other truths. Okay, so when we talk about let's start from the beginning. The book of Genesis gives us the opportunity to discover our own spirituality and use that discovery to develop a spiritual approach to our lives. And it is a spiritual approach to our lives that's what we're striving for. So to paraphrase what Jesus explained to us in Matthew 22:29, the problem in your life baffles you because you do not know the Scriptures and you do not know the power of God in your life. Okay, And let me say it again, because we're talking about how do we get to a place where we can really draw from our indwelling divinity and use that to help us move through life's challenges. And again, Matthew 22:29, Jesus said, the problem is your life, the problem in your lives that baffle you are because you do not know the scriptures and you do not know the power of God in your life. But this is a quest that we're on, to understand the deeper truths in scripture. And yes, oftentimes the language in the Bible can be very blunt in how it, you know, presents the truth. But even though it's blunt, it does not negate the fact that what it presents can assist us in progressively understanding our journey to self-discovery. And I use that word progressively on purpose because our spiritual awakening happens in stages. All right. So the truth is embedded in the scriptures, and even the truth is there. The truth is there, embedded in the scriptures. And even though it may be buried deep within them, finding that truth is our mission. You probably remember years ago, I used to talk about Alice Bailey, her very profound works that she's done on the Bible. And she said there's 7 levels of meaning in the Bible. Okay, and a lot of times we want to know what's level 2, 3, 4, 5, but we can't even understand level 1. All right, so that's why it's progressive. You have to go, you know, level by level, trying to understand these meanings. So to help us uncover the truth hidden in Scripture, it is written in the Explorer Study Bible that redemption is the substance of the whole Bible. And according to the Revealing Word, redemption is the process by which the life and substance of our lesser self are brought to conform to the standards of our higher or spiritual self. Simply, redemption is about the journey of our ego mind. This is important. Redemption is about the journey of our ego mind discovering that its true purpose is to serve our God mind instead of itself. Okay. Now, it says further in the Revealing Word that redemption is a process through which our mind, our body, our life are redeemed or restored from the destruction caused by living mainly from our ego mind. Okay, again, we're always trying to get to the root of what may be blocking or even helping our, you know, our spiritual growth. So we're redeemed when we attain the spiritual awareness of our own divinity. We are redeemed when we attain the spiritual awareness of our own divinity. This has always been the purpose of our lives, whether we knew it or not. Okay, and the use of the word ego is so often, I hear people say, I'm tired of hearing about the ego, but it's so often that we use it. I wanted to get a sense of the nature of the ego and what we're referring to. So the following is just a small part of what I found in an article titled, The Ego Mind, Recognizing When Ego Speaks. And this is from a website called Century Health. Okay. It says, the ego is a part of your mind. It is a part of the mind that says, I, which is most popularly wrapped into a connotation of self-importance. It is a part of the mind that coheres with beliefs, personality traits, and habits. Ego, though an internal voice, primarily acts externally as a way of protection, admiration, manipulation, etc., in the world that you live in. And this is an interesting last line that we're not going to really get into in this talk, because everyone has an ego, but not everyone operates from the ego mind in the world all the time. Okay? So the Revealing Word explains that our ego mind, I like this, floats like an ignorant, innocent child in the mind of God. Let me say it again. So the ego mind floats like an ignorant, innocent child in the mind of God, which means we don't know. Okay, we don't know that we're in the mind of God. And this is very much like what I used to always say. If you ask a fish, where's the ocean? It floats in the ocean basically as an ignorant, innocent child. It doesn't really know that it's in the ocean. It just, so much so if you say to the fish, where's the ocean? The fish goes, I don't know. But it's almost like the ego mind. If you say the ego mind, where is God? The ego mind kind of, you know, point up there or just go, I don't know, okay? Because it floats in the mind of God. But it is through our ego mind that all of the treasures of God must pass. Let me say this again. So even though the ego mind is, they're defining it as an ignorant, innocent child floating in the mind of God, okay, it is through the ego mind that all of the treasures of God must pass, okay? Therefore, the ego mind, that aspect of our conscious mind of which we are most aware, is of extreme importance because it is the channel through which we receive divine intuition and divine guidance. Okay? And again, divine intuition and divine guidance are happening whether or not we're able to perceive it, receive it, and accept it, okay? So this process of divinity, the answers to our prayers, whether we think we are praying or not, you say, oh, why am I going through this, or how am I going to do this, or how am I going to get through that? That basically is a prayer that goes out into the universe, okay? So the answers come back. The Father knows what you want even before you ask. So the answers come back through you, through that ego mind, okay, this passing through that ego mind. But you have to be able to perceive it, receive it, and accept it, all right? So for the purpose of illustration of what I just talked about, let's look at how the concept of redemption can be likened to when a USB flash drive, I meant to have one in my hands, like some people going, what is a USB flash drive? But most people know. So you have a USB flash drive, and it's inserted into the USB port of a computer to download some critical information. But the computer gives the message, the USB is corrupt and the computer cannot write to it. Likewise, we have within our divine mind, our Christ mind, our God mind, all of the knowledge of the deeper meaning hidden in Scripture and how to call into action the power and presence of God in our life and affairs. We have that within us. But that data cannot be written into our personal mind if our minds have become corrupt. Just like the computer said, the USB you inserted is corrupt. I cannot write to it, okay? If our minds have become corrupt, the universe cannot write the word of God into our consciousness, the guidance of God, the, you know, and so forth. So if you're wondering, how does my mind become corrupt? Just think about the times. Think about what happened within you, your feeling, emotional dynamics, you know, those times that you became angry, fearful, resentful, spiteful, prideful, unforgiving, and so on. These negative feelings and emotions, even though they are common and seemingly justified from a human perspective, are an indication that our mind has become corrupt, thereby preventing the Holy Spirit from within us from writing into our mind intuitive answers and guidance for the dilemmas in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay? Because if we go back to last week's lesson, we become saturated with whatever it is that we're struggling with in life. And as I said, it's just the common human experience. Okay? It's going to happen almost no matter how spiritual you say you are. Right? Something will cause you to go through one of those fearful dynamics, okay, and it saturates us, it corrupts our mind in terms of being open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. But again, I emphasize, again, that that trying to completely avoid negative feelings and emotion in our lives may seem impossible or even impractical. However, there is a way to make it more possible and practical. Just like you may have to reformat the USB flash drive to clear it of corruption so that it becomes a clean medium that new information can be written onto, so also must we clear the corruption in our ego mind so that the Holy Spirit can write the Word of God into it. And that's what Paul was referring to in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53, when he said, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. Okay? So it's almost like Paul is saying that if you want to receive the word of God, clearly be able to receive it, perceive it, and accept it, you've got to remove the corruption from your mind, the stuff of life that saturates us and gets us bogged down in what is going on. And of course, as we have studied in the past few weeks, this can be accomplished through prayer, what we called the process of desaturation, can also be looked at as taking the time to reformat our mind and our heart so that we are able to, again, perceive, receive, and accept the gifts of God, the Word of God, okay? So corruption is going to happen, okay? Our emotions and feelings are going to get stirred up by whatever is happening in our lives. That's the human process. But we have a mechanism, okay, for removing that corruption, and that's taking time to just sit in prayer. So our work, when studying the mystical wisdom of the Bible, trying to understand what it's revealing to us, is to allow ourselves to be transformed or turned to a spiritual sense of self, as opposed to an ego sense of self. Okay, so stuff happens through the process of practicing and working on this. Instead of turning to an ego sense of self, we can, through our work, our prayer, our meditation time, get to a point where we can turn instead to a spiritual sense of self. And to be clear, this is not a process of trying to get rid of the ego. We're not talking about getting rid of the ego. Because, as we said earlier, the ego is the medium of exchange between our personal self and our Christ self. And yes, it takes more than a whimsical notion for this transformation of the ego to take place. I mean, you just can't say, you know, I'm going to be, yeah, my ego is going to be open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. We can say it and say it and say it until eventually we begin to get it, but it just doesn't happen, you know, typically right away. And especially since the Bible describes a multi-layered complex of cosmic wisdom, a multi-layered complex of cosmic wisdom demands a multi-layered understanding by a consciousness that is willing to be transformed. Okay? And when I say multi-layered complex of cosmic wisdom, that means that whatever level of understanding you think you have about the spiritual process, there lies hidden within you a wealth of additional layers of wisdom to be discovered. And if we could just grasp the sheer magnitude of that statement, we begin to realize why it is so imperative to take time often to just be still and know that I am God. Be still so that you can become aware of the power and presence of God in the midst of whatever is occurring in your life. Realizing that no matter what you think you know, there is a multi-layered complex of cosmic wisdom within you still to be discovered. And the advanced techniques, you know, for preparing ourselves to move through the layers of cosmic wisdom, the techniques for preparing ourselves mentally and emotionally for moving through the layers of cosmic wisdom are, of course, prayer and meditation. Okay? These are the mechanisms that lead into the silence, the state of being still. And as one article explained, our minds get so caught up in stimulus response. You know what I mean? Life, there's some stimulus happens in life, whether it's from a person, a situation, the weather, whatever, okay? And we have a response, a lot of times a reaction, okay? So our minds get so caught up in stimulus and response that being still is taking time to be in a state of no response, okay? So if you're saying, what is this thing of practicing prayer and practicing meditation, being still, how does this work? Well, it's taking the time to be in a state of no response. There's a stimulus, you take time to be in a state of no response. And that can happen in the instant, right in the face of what's going on, where something happens and you remember that you can take this moment, even looking into another person's face, and just inside be still and have no response, okay? That's being still and knowing that I am God. So the stimulus may still be there, okay? But you're in a state of no response. For whatever time it takes to reformat and remove the corruption caused by fear in your mind. So if you say, well, how long do I stand there? There it is. You know, whatever time it takes to reformat and remove the corruption caused by fear in your mind, that's how long you stay in a state of no response, which means be still and know that I am God. And you say, well, what am I waiting for? You're waiting for divine guidance. You're waiting for the divine words that'll just flow through you. Moving from your God mind, your Christ mind, the Holy Spirit within you, into your ego mind. And then your ego mind, now knowing that it is its job to receive, perceive, and accept this divine word is receiving, it becomes the instrument through which you share it. Okay? So many of the mystical writers say that the reason for practicing being still is to know God. But this is not coming to know God like we know each other. Because we tend to know each other as separate entities with separate, distinctly different peculiarities. The kind of knowing that we're referring to here is where we come to know God so intimately, so intrinsically, that this inner knowing becomes a natural, normal part of your mental, emotional makeup. And in a sense, becomes your new ego that has been trained to serve God. Okay, did you hear that? So it becomes your new ego that has been trained to serve God instead of itself. And when it comes to prayer, the word intimacy is the key to knowing the power and presence of God in your life. The word intimacy means touching that which is innermost or essential to the essence of your being. And this is the reason for prayer. See, prayer feeds our inner yearning, our inner need for intimacy with God. And it is this desire for intimacy with God that is the essential ingredient in prayer. And the essential ingredient for being able to understand the multi-layered complex of cosmic wisdom hidden in the Bible. All right? So it's a twofold thing. So from a practical viewpoint, prayer can be thought of as the practice of being still. From a practical standpoint, from the standpoint of practicing, prayer can be thought of as the practice of being still. And being still can be thought of as the practice of prayer. All right? It's all the same thing. It's all for the purpose of knowing God, of being open and receptive to receiving, perceiving, you received it, and you perceive what it is trying to tell you, and then you accept what it is telling you, and your ego is given the job, this new ego, this reborn ego, it's given the job to then share or do whatever the messages you've received. And we often ask, why are the things we need to know for awakening to our divine nature hidden in the Bible? Why isn't that just upfront and obvious? Okay? It's because the language in the Bible requires being born again with a new mind that becomes better able to understand what is being said underneath what is being said. Okay? Because a lot of times when we receive, we cannot perceive what it is that we received is trying to tell us to do. We cannot understand what is being said underneath what is being said. Okay? And that's where training of the ego comes into play. Because remember, that's the instrument through which it is going to be expressed through the personal self, right? It's going to be expressed. And so it's retraining that ego to understand this language. And this is what is being referred to in Genesis 1:3, this idea of, you know, being able to, you receive it, now you got to perceive it, you got to understand it. And in Genesis 1:3, it said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So when you receive this divine intuition, this divine guidance, and you just don't get it, Genesis 1:3 is just saying, let there be light, let there be light, okay? And we interpret this metaphysically to be, let there be discernment or understanding. Or to take it further, it could mean to the human mind, let there be patience and compassion and tolerance until your mind is illumined with the reality that God is. Okay. So Charles Fillmore, in his book, Mysteries of Genesis, says that the book of Genesis is the key to understanding the Bible. Actually, the word Genesis means source or origin. And that is why it's so significant to meditate on the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. Okay? It is the key to understanding. Don't let me say this again. In the beginning, God. It's the key to understanding Jesus' statement in John 17:5, where he said, "And now, Father, glorify me with thy presence, that I had with the glory I had with thee before the world was made." Let me just say that again. So this is John 17:5. "And now, Father, glorify thou me in thy own presence with the glory I had with thee before the world was made." Now, this is an incredibly important scripture to understand, because it is saying, before this situation occurred in my life, okay, "Glorify thou me in thy own presence with the glory I had with thee before the world was made." So this is saying, before the situation in my life happened. Glorify me with the presence I had there before the situation occurred in my life, or occurred in my body, or occurred in my affairs. It's helping us understand that there was God, and somehow there was always God. No matter what I've been going through, there was always God, because I've been glorified in the presence with God before the world was made. I just didn't realize it. I'd lost my awareness of that realization, that connection, making me feel alone in my struggles with these experiences in my life. When in reality, I was never alone. You were never alone. We were never alone. And Jesus promised us in Matthew 28:20, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So Charles Fillmore says that the statement, "In the beginning, God," points to new birth and to the perfection of humankind in the regeneration. Okay? And that's what we're striving to be, is to be regenerated. Okay? Our whole being is seeking to be regenerated, which also regenerates the ego, to create a new ego that is open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. My favorite thing that I say a lot. And the book of Genesis is about our rebirth, our transformation. It is about what will unfold in us when we immerse ourselves in the study, meditation, and contemplation of spiritual ways of being. And Genesis is the beginning of the journey. The Holy Spirit, so let me just say it again. Genesis is the beginning of the journey. Okay, so you begin the journey. Then the Holy Spirit that is within us, it motivates and inspires us to take the journey. So we come up with a mindset where we're saying, "I want to take this journey." Then the Holy Spirit within us motivates and inspires us to take the journey. And then Jesus Christ is our way shower through that journey. "Lo, I am with you always." So we need only to be willing to take the journey and follow the guidance of our inner spirit of truth. And we will become, if we do this, we will become a new human being in Christ. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So in keeping with the daily word, which was about prosperity, this is a prosperity meditation for today. In this time of quiet reflection, take a few moments to slow down and relax. Gently close your eyes and quiet your mind and body. Take a moment to breathe deeply, rest, and allow your day to slow down. As you follow your breath, let go and quiet your thoughts by simply acknowledging them and letting them drift by. You can say to yourself silently, "Thank you, God," or simply say, "Peace." Let your mind rest as the still small voice within comes into your awareness. Thoughts of prosperous living, gratitude, and abundance in all forms flow through you now. Feelings of peace and plenty, a rich and abundant life wash over you. Life itself breathes you, loves you, and prospers you. Your thoughts and feelings go deeper into the still small voice within as it guides you to your highest good. Prosperity is yours as you let go and trust God completely for the good desires of your heart. Abundant good is flowing to you, through your positive words and thoughts and actions. You are now in the flow of life. You move easily with the flow in joy, in gratitude. You enthusiastically say yes to your good. And now, Unity Family, feel yourself moving into the secret place of the Most High. Here you may experience the divine presence of Spirit and take a few moments here to receive answers to your prayers. And now take another deep breath in, release it, and move gently back into your day, free from fear and concern, moving forward in the flow of life, unhurried and unworried. One with the flow, you open the way for infinite blessings of Spirit. And so we give thanks in the name and the nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen. When you are ready, open your eyes and join in back in with your Unity Family.
Thanks, Thank you. All right. As we always say, this is a time when we do give thanks. We acknowledge the abundance of life that we are living. And there's always blessings when we remain conscious and grateful for the blessings in our lives. So with that in mind, we're going to say our prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen. And, you know, to follow that up now, we've just acknowledged the blessings that flow into our lives. And we also now acknowledge and give thanks for that we're willing to do to support and serve the place where we get our spiritual guidance and spiritual lessons from. And so let's say our offering blessing together, holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, or in your spirit. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. Now we have light notes.
Light notes for Sunday, October the 10th. Our next in-person service will be next Sunday, October the 8th. We will be live and in Zoom. And our musician on piano will be our granddaughter, Callista Langley. On that same date, Roderick Mitchell, one of our board members, will be doing a short lesson on fire safety to our youth. So be sure to bring your children or your grandchildren, or both. On Sunday, October 22nd, our guest speaker will be the Reverend Galen McDowell. This will be a live via Zoom. Reverend McDowell is the Executive Minister, Senior Assistant Minister and director of the Johnny Coleman Institute at Christ Universal Temple in Chicago, Illinois. His topic for the 22nd is Creating a New Life Story. Please read your e-newsletters and your updates. There is additional information for you there regarding Reverend Galen. The Book Light Book Club's next read is the Oprah Winfrey book called What I Know for Sure. This book is a compilation of Oprah's essays on joy, resilience, connection, gratitude, possibility, awe, clarity, and power. These essays give us a rare and intimate glimpse into the heart and mind of one of the world's most extraordinary women. The discussion will be held on Zoom Sunday, November the 12th from 1 to 3. And that concludes the announcements for today.
Okay, so
it's time to it's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week, and we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal,
and gusto.
Together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. Amen. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope to see you next week in the in-person service. But remember, if you can't make the in-person, it will also be on Zoom simultaneously. It'll be live on Zoom. Okay. So have a wonderful week and stay blessed. And we look forward to seeing you next week. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.